Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another, yes, one other, another edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. We seem to have a little noise in the line here. Hopefully we get that resolved. Yes, welcome to another edition of our show tonight. We're excited because we're coming off of a show last week where we had our wonderful guest, Brother Kareem Muhammad from Greenville, Mississippi. Brother Kareem Muhammad is coordinator of the Greenville, Mississippi local organizing committee. And it was so much that I took from Brother's interview that he had with us. And one of the things that I took with him is that what he's doing and what we're doing at the Time to Leave movement, we're trying to add balance to the mission of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his divine reminder and representative, Mr. Farrakhan, and the Nation of Islam, in that if we are serious about building a true nation, not just a nominal nation, but a sovereign physical country where we are controlling our destiny, then we have to add balance to our movement and our mission. We can't be strong in one area and pretty much ignore another area. So that's what we're trying to do, and that's what I got from Brother Kareem. Brother Kareem shared with us his observations, his understanding, and his obedience to implement the instructions of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And if you haven't heard the interview, I strongly recommend that you replay it, because what he shared with us was techniques and the understanding that would help that's helping me and that will help anyone who listens to it on how to get success and not just working within ourselves, the nation, but also working with our other brothers and sisters in the community and other movements. Very insightful. It's important for us to do that because we have a lot of talents in the nation, but a lot of talents we don't have in the nation or we don't know about or is dormant. So we have to reach out to our community. And whether our people know it or not, they are part of our nation, you know, by nature. And Allah wants us to get all of our people. And so some of the things he shared with me was very, very encouraging on how to get over barriers. And, you know, the first barrier is in our minds, how we deal with our people in other organizations outside the nation. And brothers shared techniques with that. It's important that we put our efforts into building our physical nation, you know, how to have a physical government, how to be able to supply our food, clothing, and shelter, how to be able to do business, international business, how to have a strong, organized educational systems. And I know some of you that are listening say, hey, you're talking about the ministries. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I'm talking about the ministries. So keep that in mind as we continue forward in our program. This is our panel discussion, and I see our wonderful brother, Dr. Visually Mufmeen Muhammad, has pressed the button. I'm going to bring him on. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Visually.
Wa alaikum salam. Can you hear me?
Very well, sir.
Good. Praise be to Allah, because this phone has been acting up all day long. I was just, you know, sitting waiting. I hope the other people would get involved in the conversation. You know, two very interesting things came up today. One of them was, I think you sent it out to Brother Leroy. It was Africatown, and we had them teach from people from Africatown, which is part of Mobile, Alabama now. And
yes, sir.
They were pushing, you know, for the development of Africatown, and I thought it was very interesting in the article that was sent out that they are asking for a piece of the pie in a real sense. There's a toll road that's getting ready to be built right through their community,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to disrupt their community. And so they're saying that they should get some of the toll, you know, some of the toll money. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But, see, that's real reparations, and that's all I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Today is, you know, what does real reparations look like? You know, they're having the NCOBRA having their conference up in Detroit on reparations. And then I think the minister's going to speak on Sunday, and I'm not going to be able
really?
To make it up there. Yeah, I think he's going to speak on Sunday. I think I saw the advertisement, but somebody can correct me if I'm wrong. But you know, I won't be able to make it, but I thought that the topic is right in line with time to leave and reparations. You know, I read the article in the Final Call a couple of weeks ago about reparations, and it was a
mm-hmm.
long article, 5,000 words, and it talks about different organizations and their saying, you know, this, that, and the other, but didn't really get down to what reparations looks like. And of course, you know, I'm not that bright on everything, but I got enough sense to go to the root or the source of something. And of course, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us what reparations looks like. I'm going to read a portion of it because it's very plain. And anybody talk about anything other than this, I ain't got time for it. So
mm-hmm.
this is from our back inside cover. It used to be on the very back of the Muhammad Speaks. Now it's on the inside back page of the Final Call newspaper. And it's what the Muslims want and what the Muslims believe, the Muslim program. And under what the Muslims want, number four, it says, we want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descended from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land and that the area must be fertile and mentally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to maintain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we are able to produce and supply our own needs. So, to me, that's what reparations look like. And to me, that's what separation looks like. We want a territory of our own. Now, we would like for the former slave masters to provide that, but, you know, it's going to take some pressure. He's got to feel pressure today. He's not going to do it out of the goodness of his heart. So I just wanted to get that start. One, do we want reparations? Do we want a territory? Do you think that the slave master's children is going to come through? And another thing that I want to talk about is when you ask him for reparations and you allow, if you allow the government of the United States to pay you a one-time cash payment, well, immediately that money is going to be evaluated once it's printed because it's not backed by anything. And the only thing that's backed by is future taxes. So if the government prints money and give it to us in one-time shot in reparations without any means by which we can make money, then we're going to have to work for somebody and then pay the taxes so the government can replenish what it just gave us. Because the government ain't got no money.
Wow.
Okay? And in what the messenger taught us, he said our former slave master. Now, he didn't say the government. Now, I find it interesting in our teachings, the messenger gives us some information, and then, you know, we just repeat it, and then we don't think about it. You know, he said that Master Farah Muhammad was going to push the DuPonts, the Rockefellers, and the Rothschilds into a lake of fire. You remember that?
Yes, sir.
So the question is, why didn't he say the United States government? Why didn't he say Mississippi, Alabama, will push them into a lake of fire? Why didn't he say England, push them into a lake of fire? Why did he call out those names, some family names? So in our the Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Volume 1, Volume 2, and in Jews Selling Blacks, we begin to see the families that actually participated. You know, all white people in America were not slave masters.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, those hillbillies we laugh about up in the mountains of North Carolina, Tennessee, they went there because they were not a part of the slave system. And they did not secede from the nation, from the country, to fight on the Confederate side because they felt they had no stake in the fight because they didn't own slaves. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was specific when he said that our former slave masters, okay? And so to the DuPonts, the Rockefellers, and the Rothschilds and other families benefit from our enslavement? Were they involved in our enslavement? And then later on in Jim Crow and sharecropping where they robbed us. Can we trace down those people? Because guess what? They're the same ones who run the government now from behind the scenes. They're the ones who got the money. They're the ones who America owes. America owes $22 trillion out to somebody.
Man.
Since it set up the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve is a set of private bankers. So it was only $2 or $3 billion that was in debt when America, in 1913, before the Federal Reserve was set up. Now it's $22 trillion. Who got that money? Who do we owe the debt to? See, these are the rich families who grew from our enslavement into becoming the international bankers for the world, and now they have bought governments. Governments owe them. And so if we go up against the government, all they're going to do is turn around and tax us. So we need to find out who are these people. Who are this, the 1%, as they're called? Those are the ones who got the money. Those are the ones who should support us for 20, 25 years. The only thing America got is the land. Okay? They ain't got no real money, no wealth no more. It's all been stolen. Now they're in debt by $22 trillion. So you can't get blood out of a turnip. Okay? You go out to get some a living animal, get some blood. So if we're talking about reparations, we need to understand what it looks like and who to go get it from.
Mm-hmm.
Why go get it from yourself? Because one day we're going to be the majority in this country. We're going to be the majority soon. And if we stay here, we'll be the majority. Then we'll be the leaders, because we'll vote ourselves into position. And then we'll be responsible for the $22 trillion. And somebody will call us in on that debt. Say, well, look, you owe $22 trillion, America. We owe our money. You think they ain't? They did it to Haiti. Haiti won the war.
Yes, sir.
12-year war in 1804. They won the war, but guess what? France charged them for the island. And that's why Haiti is still poor. Because they had to pay hundreds of millions of dollars to France. They had to pay them every year. They had to pay France reparations. For them taking, they said, taking the land, Haiti, from them. So
never
we'd be
mind.
In the
they
same situation.
The original.
Yes. So hopefully that people call in. We can have a discussion. But we got to know what reparations look like. We got to understand the situation that we're in. These people are not playing with us. They don't intend to ever let us go. And if we don't fight our way out of here, they set us up to be their perpetual slaves by taking over a country that owes $22 trillion to somebody else.
So, brothers and sisters,
would you take over a company?
Yes, sir.
Bankrupt and own everybody? No. So, I'm finished my rant.
So, brothers and sisters, what do you think about what Dr. Visney shared with us? Do you have questions, comments? You think he's right on it, or you think he might be a little off on it, or you something you don't understand? So go ahead and press that 1 on your dial. Press that 1, and I'll recognize you. And we got a caller. Caller with the last 4 digits, 7359. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Niambe.
Thanks, Law.
So I'm just on fire. After what Dr. Ridgely has shared with us, because what you're telling us, Dr. Ridgely, is something that we should already realize, but is that the devil is the devil all the time. And as long as he is on the planet with us, he will never stop trying to deceive us. And this offer of reparations that he may try and offer in the form of a cash payment is another trick to deceive the original people into remaining under his rule. as you said, the only reparations that we need to be seeking is land. We've got to understand that. Because, and one thing I'm seeing is that our people, whether we profess to be Muslim or not, we are easily deceived by him sometimes. So because we think that we can continue to buy food from him out of his poison stores and live a healthy, long life, what we must grasp a hold of is that at this very moment in time, that is no longer an option. The only option that we have is to work the land for ourselves if we desire long life and health. So we just might as well just submit to that. It's going to take work. To build a new kingdom is not going to be without work and effort. It's not going to be without energy. It's not going to come without sacrifice. So if we want to just sit around and work for the mystery God to drop something out of the sky, then we're really saying that we'll just die with our enemies. So we might as well get ready to work and be happy about it. Work with joy in our hearts. Be excited about building a kingdom with the help of our God. So thank you, Dr. Ridgely, and keep enlightening us and waking us up. All praise to you.
Well, thank you, Sister Nyambe. And you said something in there that made me want to say this. You know, I said that the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and the DuPonts, the slave family, slave-making families, the families that made money off of us. If I ask you right now, where would you find the DuPonts? Where would you find the Rothschilds? Where would you find the Rockefellers? We'd have a hard time even finding them, okay, physically. Where are they? Now, the white people who we see every day, we have a habit of judging our condition against their condition and making assumptions about their condition. Most of the white people who you and I come in contact with are slaves. They are just a little higher level slave than we are, but they are still slaves. They're running around in a wheel that's spinning. What do they call that hamster that runs around? I see them as farmers. I see them running around trying to fix this, trying to fix that, worried about the commodity prices, worried about the cost of the fertilizer and the chemicals, and scratching their head every year as to what's going on. They're not getting ahead. There's government payments even keeping them going. They're just slaves. And so when we look at white people, we're looking at the wrong ones, the ones that we see, the ones that we should be looking for, we don't even think about. But they are the ones who are running things, not the ones you work with, not even your boss. These are just hirelings. They're just hirelings. They lost their country in 1913 when the Federal Reserve said that most white people really believe that the Federal Reserve is owned by the American government. Most white people believe the Federal Reserve is owned by the American government. Most white people believe that note, Federal Reserve note, is, it tells you what it is. It's a note. You got a car note. You like your car note? You got a house note? That's what you owe somebody. That's all you're getting. You're getting a debt instrument. And you the one who owe. Oh, man, it's a shame that we are following behind the white people who we see, and the white people who we see is slaves too. This is why we must come up to the understanding of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because other than that, we are following slaves. We're following the Congress people. We're following the Trumps, the people who are out front, the newscasters. These are slaves. They've sold their soul for the money. they're not in control. We are going to follow a God who is in control, not a white man who ain't in control. He don't have no control no more. We need to separate and work out a situation for the for them. You know, we take this part, eight states, we take this part here. You know, you take the other part up there in Wyoming and, you know, all them places up there, you know, and we trade. But we need to think beyond what they're presenting to us and go to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is presenting to us and what Mr. Farrakhan is presenting to us. He presented to us in 2005 the nine ministries. The nine ministries are a basis for the running and establishment, the ministering of a nation. Many countries like Cuba and other Iran and other countries, even England, they have what they call ministries. The ministries is what ministries of land, ministries of agriculture, ministries of mining. These are what actually run the operation of a nation, ministries. And we have nine ministries. We should have them fully manned and operating. We should already be acting as though we're independent, moving towards independence, instead of complaining about this, that, and the other. So thank you, Sister Nyambe. I just wanted to remind the people that the people who you work with and even who you work for, they are not the bosses. They are not the billionaires. They are not the ones that run the country and the world. They are just workers just like you and I. As-salamu alaykum.
Mm. Well, alaykum salam. And on that note, we have another time to leave panelist. Sister Ann has joined us. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Ann.
Alaykum salam. I'd just like to say I appreciate Dr. Rich.
You just went out.
We can't hear you, Sister Ann.
You can't hear me?
We hear you
now. We can.
Okay. I was just saying I appreciate Dr. Ridley's mind and his forethought. And when you look at what our people are involved in on a daily basis, you know, we just Father's Day, you know, and we get all hyped up about the holidays and all of these things. It's a meaning for our life. And have a
perfect. Dan, we can't hear you. We can't hear you, Dan.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Right now we can. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I would say that what we need to do as a people is find something that we can be proud of, that we have, that is not connected with the current system. You know, we celebrate all of the holidays. And this is one thing that is keeping us tied to this system. We have to find a way to get away. We celebrate graduation from high school. Can you hear me now?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
We celebrate all of these different things. Graduation from high school, and I agree with it. We should celebrate, but we should be celebrating graduating from Muhammad University of Islam. And if we are not celebrating that way, then we are still a part of this world. And it's going to take us a long, long time to get away from this society unless we have something that we can set apart and be among people who think like us.
That's right.
Nine times out of ten, when we celebrate these holidays, we're spending money. We're spending money. We're following suit with the devil. We see him doing all of these things, spending his money, having big celebrations of all these things, and we follow suit. So it's time for us to stop following suit with the devil and set about doing something for ourselves. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, you missed one part, Sister Ann.
What was that?
We have a chance for the people to come and to celebrate Founders Day.
Oh, yes.
Hey,
well,
that's right.
5th, 6th, and 7th.
Yes.
Down
yes.
here at
Cross yes.
Georgia Muhammad Farms Founders Day.
Yes, we do. We have
and
Founders Day.
We have a caller that wants to speak. I'm going to bring our caller on. Caller with the last four digits of 9595. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Brother Gerald and Sister Linda. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, family. We're traveling.
Sister Niambe, if I speak, can they hear me?
Yes, you can. Whoever is it spoke.
We hear you. Yes. You are on.
Yeah, we're traveling, heading to Washington, D.C., and we're in Lexington in these hills and mountains, so the call might drop out. But I just wanted to say that last week we were going to Mount Bayou to assist Brother Kareem with that great work that he's doing there with the local organizing committee. And my wife was reading out of a book dealing with the history of Mount Bayou, and I'm pretty sure that we're kind of familiar with that history, and how these black brothers, these Montgomery brothers, Isaiah Montgomery, and how he went in and established this all-black town that's still in existence today. I just wanted to point out one observation that she was reading, and we thought it was phenomenal, and it brings up a question. Why did Isaiah Montgomery and Thornton Montgomery, why did they set up the banking and the financial, the loaning institutions, and wouldn't allow anybody else to do that? Why do you think that was important?
Well, I would like to know, how did they know the importance of that? Because it is tremendously important, but how did they know that? Where did they learn that from?
Well, I think it has something to do with their history coming up in Vicksburg, Mississippi, where we're from, and how they were able to maneuver and get control of that property, those 5,000 acres of some of the richest land producing some of the best cotton, and their interaction with white folks and knowing their trickery and their chicanery. And the things that they will do. But the point that I was looking at, Doc, was if someone else wanted to set up a business, then they have to borrow the money to do it. And if outside entities come in and borrow and loan you the money, now that's their back door to come in and take over and get control. And you mentioned the DuPonts, the Rockefellers, those families, they are well known for doing just that. And I think that Isaiah and Thornton kind of saw into that.
Well, I'd like to say this. That just shows you that we are going to have to finance our own liberation. We're going
Absolutely.
To have to pool our resources, and then loan the money out to each other as needed. And now, we did this with the Stable Goods project to help Sister Majida get on her feet. Okay? I mean, we have to begin to pool our resources.
Right.
Loan out to each other without charging interest. Okay? And,
yes,
and then get the money back and then didn't loan it out again. But we're going to have to start doing that because that's the banking system was they moved from cotton, producing cotton. They made the money from the cotton, and now they own the banks and the lending system.
Right.
And it just makes money on top of money. For instance, to show you the power of compound interest, if you take $100, $100, and you loan it out at 6% interest, like compounded yearly, in 100 years, they would owe you $35,000.
Wow.
Okay? So this is why when you buy a house, you wind up paying 2.5 times more than the value of the house, because of the compound interest payments. And this is why the Jews hate Islam, because in Islam, we can't do that.
That's
not
right.
You hold a loan out at interest. That's usury.
Yes, sir.
And you don't do people like that. If if you want to invest with somebody, you can invest and you should get a return on your investment. But guess what? If the investment goes sour, then you lose your money too.
Right.
But with the banking system, they loan you money, but they don't lose. If you go out of business, they take every damn thing. And then some.
Right.
They don't lose.
So
they're not taking the risk.
There's a risk factor that's involved. Yes, sir.
See, the banking system is set up so they don't take the risk. They just use the power of the police and then the military to extract from the people who borrowed from them. So if you don't pay them back, then they send the police, or if you're another country, they send the military to make you pay them back at interest.
Right.
Okay? So now that's why if we want to get the money, we need to go and get the money, type of reparations now, from those who got the money, the international bankers. The international bankers, those families, they're the ones who got the damn money. The governments ain't got the money no more. They own the governments because they own the printing press. They own the money supply. All right? They loan the money to the government. But you see, they're so slick that we don't even know that. So we're looking at it's a shell game. You know, we're looking at this shell over here. Ain't nothing underneath that damn shell. It's just a shell now. Okay?
That's right.
We're going to have to do proper research. And then we're going to have to call upon our God to put pressure on those families. But you see, he can't do his work until we know what's going on. What's the use of him putting pressure on them families if we don't know what the hell's going on? We have to ask him to put pressure. Once we find out who those families are, we got to pray to Master Farah Muhammad to put pressure on them to make them give up the damn money.
That's right.
See? We got to come up, and we have to come up and grow up. You can't be a revolutionary and still be dumb. It's dumb too long. And I'm thinking, why did Master Farah Muhammad say he won the DuPonts, the Rockefellers, and the Rothschilds? Why did he say those names instead of just country? Now, he's trying to give us a hint. I'm after rich. I'm after the ones you don't know about. But damn it, study them. Find out who they are so I can kill them.
That's right.
Okay? But thank you very much, Brother Gerald. So you going to that conference?
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
Sir. Yes, sir. Now,
come back with a great report.
Doc, stay clear to the phone because I'm going to be probably calling you for some talking points. But we're going, and with your blessing and Sister Ann's blessing, And you know, I know Brother Akbar would love to know that the Ministry of Agriculture is being represented at that conference.
Okay, that's
with
right.
With your blessing. Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. You got my blessing. Because I'm down here stuck, man. I'm dealing with watermelons. I'm dealing with staple goods. Man, you know. Yeah, you got my blessing. Make it happen.
Yes, sir. And Dr. Ridley, speaking of staple goods, I think the staple goods shows that we are in a position that at the proper time that we have some customers and we can network some products. So I don't think it's a long stretch to be working or reaching out for that international trade and all that. If we pull our resources, like you just said, together, we can make some things happen on a national level, international level.
Well, again, as you know, we've been involved with the Staple Goods Project since 2011. So this is what, 8 years?
Yes,
so,
sir.
You know, we've learned a lot of lessons. The
right.
The same question got to be asked when you start to deal with international. Okay? We know
yes,
right now, the issue is you pay for something and you got to wait for it to come, or do you put something on a boat and somebody's got to receive it? What I'm saying is that you know the problem we have when we send something and then somebody said that something is missing in the box and was supposed to be in the box, or they say that the box was seemed like it was tampered with, or they lose it for a while. Those type of things happen on the international basis too, but on a bigger scale. So
well,
all those things got to be considered.
Well, Doc, I might have to ride with the shipment. The guarantee is success.
Well, you know, let me tell you what the big companies do. Okay? The big companies have a hotel or an apartment built or an apartment in the receiving country at the port. When they send their shipment there, they got somebody over there who's going to make sure that it gets to where it's supposed to go.
Wow. Yes, sir.
They don't just
yes,
ship
sir.
Stuff blind and depend on somebody doing what they're supposed to do. No, they know that in reality, you're not there to watch your stuff. Somebody go steal it and lie to you about what happened.
Yes, sir.
So they have a person on the receiving end in that country. So if they go send it to Nigeria, or they go send it to England or Spain, well, if they have a person in Nigeria, England, and Spain to receive that product for that company.
Wow, yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Because this bike guy told me, he said, you will lose your first shipment. If you can't afford to lose your first shipment, don't get involved.
Wow.
But somewhere down the line, somebody will get you, and you won't know until it's you won't make that mistake again, but they got something new for you. They got new tricks. Remember, these are thieves, man.
Yes, sir.
So again, when you're there, just always be looking for the firing out about the statistic and the reality of the security risk, the insurance requirements, you know, all that type of stuff.
Yes, sir. Will do, sir.
Yes, sir. Okay,
Mr. Gerald, I have a question. Mr. Gerald, are you still on?
Yes, sir.
Oh. So do you know if they're going to be focusing on a particular region of Africa?
Well, yes, sir. Yes, sir. What was it under? Yeah, it's Africa and the Caribbean, but there's an itinerary, and it mentions a few of the countries. We've been doing a little research on what the commodities that those countries offer, but on the website, in the Final Call News, they give a website on that ad, and you can go in and see the itinerary.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you for that report, Brother Gerald. Brothers and sisters, we are down to the last 15 minutes of the show. If you have a question or a comment that you want to make, or if you have something interesting to share with us, please press the 1 on your dial, and your mic will be open, and you can participate in the conversation. So I have a question, Dr. Risley. So those of us, people who are talking about reparations, like in COBRA and other groups, what exactly are they looking to get as reparations?
Well, you know, I don't know. I've been to one or two of them, and, you know, it was Minister Farrakhan put they were going for cash, for cash. There was a group called the, I can't think of the name of the group, but there was a group of them that was supposed to be the head, and this guy named Al Pyrie, the Dream Team, got in there, and I warned him about it, and I told the minister what Al Pyrie is going to try to shift them to, and they was talking about at one time the same amount of money that they were supposed to give to black farmers. They were talking about $50,000 per person. Okay, this is what they were talking about back in 1998-99. $50,000 per person. But Minister Farrakhan put a stop to that and said, look, we need productive assets. We need land, and if you'll give us some money, give us stock in corporations. Give us guaranteed education, okay? But not no cash settlement that can be, you know, if you give black folks $50,000, what they going to do, they're not going to pay off the debt that they already got.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to take that and put a down payment on a big house or a big car, okay? And swear in their own mind that they're going to be able to pay for it. But that's what they're going to do. Because we're the children of Israel. We're children, and we will act like children. You give them $50,000, they're going to blow it. So, no, we don't want $50,000. You know, we need land and – Honorable Elijah Muhammad said 20 to 25 years of support until we get on our feet. And she said, well, why are you asking that? Because, damn it, this is a divorce. Hell, you done used us up. You done had our best days. You done took our babies, you know, made them your slaves. The hell are you talking about? You damn straight. 20 to 25 years after 460 years of hell, 310 years of straight out slavery, and then us with games you done played, you damn straight 20 to 25 years. You better be glad that's all we're going to charge your ass. 20, 25 years is alimony, damn it.
I feel like
What's wrong?
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Ridley or maybe the brother, can somebody tell us where the conference is going to be held that the brother spoke of?
You're talking about the one in D.C., that's in D.C., the one on import export to Africa and the Caribbean is in Washington D.C.
Okay. That's the this is the conference that Brother Akbar is holding.
Yes.
Oh, he's going to be a part of. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
yes,
that's that conference. Then we got the other conference in COBRA. That's up in Detroit. The reparations conference in Detroit.
Okay.
This weekend.
Yes, sir.
Both of them this weekend. Reparations Conference in Detroit and the International Trade Conferences in Washington, D.C.
Okay, yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah. Both of them you can find or go to the SoundCloud website.
Do we know anybody that's going to the Reparations Conference? Oh, you said the minister might be there. So we'll know somebody.
Well, check. Check with Brother Leroy.
Yeah, I was going to say, yes, sir.
And check with him, see if
he's the minister. If the minister spoke speaking, he'll definitely be there.
Right. Okay, any other questions or comments?
Brothers and sisters, any more questions?
We got to tell people. This will be the last night, Tuesday, that we're doing Blog Talk on a Tuesday. Starting the 27th of June, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, we'll be moving to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Minister Ava, she has a blog, another talk show on radio talk show at the exact time that we have our Tuesday show. So we're going to move our Tuesday to 7 o'clock on Thursday. Now, Minister Ava's blog talk is at 8 o'clock on Thursday. So ours is the hour from 7 to 8, so we will not interfere with her blog talk. And so we're moving it starting June 27th to 7 p.m. Same phone number, et cetera, but 7 p.m. on Thursday, starting June 27th.
Same number, same time, just the day is different.
That's right.
And we have a caller.
So it's going to take y'all a while to get used to that, but that's what we plan on. That's what we're going to do. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead with the caller. Yes, sir.
Caller with the last four digits, 7115. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, my name is Sister Lucille. I'm calling from St. Louis. And I wanted to agree wholeheartedly with Dr. Wrigley about the white people being slaves like us. They don't realize it. We should realize it, but they have to go around the corner just like we do. They have to pay the same price of gas. A lot of things we are even more have advantage of than they do. If we only but knew. Dr. Rizzo, you all, I just want to share something with you. I remember I worked in a financial institution and the economy was falling. Really got really bad when Bush was in office. So I tried to inform some of the believers that they could refinance their homes, especially if they had double-digit, interest rates. Our people are so afraid in the nation, out of the nation. When it comes to black people, they just can't hear us because they really, we got a bad job put on us in slavery. Black people don't trust black people. Minister Farrakhan has asked us to give a nickel a day towards the economic blueprint. I harp about it all the time. I took out $5. It comes out of my checking account every month to go toward the blueprint. I told other believers, I bet you can count on two hands believers that are doing this. So this is your first investment here, the economic blueprint, making sure that your nickel a day is going in there. We are afraid to give ourselves a nickel a day. So if you can't start with a nickel, how do you expect them to give much more money than that?
Thank you, sister. Yes, you ain't done nothing but say the truth. And we thank you for supporting Muhammad Economic Blueprint and keep on teaching, keep on pushing. But you're right, sister. It's just something. Black people is like, I don't want that piece of pie if it's coming from a black person, but I want it from a white person. In other words, I'm out here about to drown, but don't throw me no lifeline if you black. I'm waiting on the white man to throw me a lifeline. Okay? We really, they did a job on us and continue to do a job on us because we're looking at their damn TV. And now we're looking at, Facebook. But we're looking at their TV. They're always propagandizing us. And we're falling for it because we allow them to get between our eyes and in our ears. So study the teachings of Elijah Muhammad. That's the only salvation. Study him and the minister. Stay away as much as you can from looking at them white folks on TV or anyplace else. They are always propagandizing, and they're slaves, and they want you to be a slave. I never heard of black folks committing suicide until integration. Now we got our young people committing suicide right beside white folk. Where did we get that from? Hell, we went through slavery and didn't go do no damn stuff like that. Standing around looking at these poor white folks who are slaves and ignorant and are pessimistic, they're depressive, and we stand around them and we're falling right into their footsteps and taking pills and dying too. But thank you, Sister Lucille, for that information.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Brother Carl, anybody else?
Yes, sir. Not yet. We're down to the last 5 minutes, and I'm glad you reminded us about the change of the show. I'm going to send an email out, and it'll be on our Facebook page, too, just in case anyone does remember. But that's important.
Well, you know, and I'm glad that we're moving it, too, because,
yes, sir.
You know, 1 month one Tuesday out of the month is our county commissioners meeting. And I don't, you know, I don't want to miss that. I want to be there every month just to sit up there and look at them and every now and then to say something to make them mad. So, yes, yeah. So now I can feel comfortable just sitting in the whole county commissioners meeting looking at them. Oh, praise is due to Allah.
All praise is due to Allah. Well, if there's no more comments, we're going to go ahead and end the show, and we're going to look forward to having you all on Thursday, not this Thursday, but next Thursday. Same time, same number, same show, new day. So, inshallah, may Allah bless everybody. Until then, with a good week, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Out of my skull. My grandma passed, my brother's gone.
Hello.
I never at once felt so alone.
Hello.
I know you're supposed to be my steering wheel, not just my spare tire.
Oh.
But Lord, I ask you to be my force and truth.
Oh.
For some strange reason, it had to be.
Oh.
He guided me to Tennessee.
Oh. Take me to another.
Then out of nowhere, you tell me to break out of the country and into more countries. Fast-eyed birth into Ripley, where the ghost of childhood haunts me. Walk the roads my forefathers walk, climb the trees my forefathers hung from. Ask those trees for all their wisdom. They tell me my ears are so young. Go back to whence you came. My family tree, my family name. For some strange reason, it had to be. He guided me to Tennessee.
Down to Holly Springs. Razadon and Baba, they went down to Peachtree. Headliner, I challenge you to a game of horseshoes. A game of horseshoes!
Now I see the importance of history. While my people be in the mess that they be. Many journeys to freedom made in vain. By brothers on the corner playing ghetto games. I ask you, Lord, why you enlighten me. Without the enlightenment of all my folks. He said, cause I set myself on a quest for truth. And he was there to quench my thirst. But I am still thirsty.